Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last program, we began to look at the facts from which we know for sure that the Quran was not written in a book form in Muhammad's lifetime or even according to his direction, as Muslims all over the West claimed. We covered in our last broadcast the first fact, which was that no Quran existed during the lifetime of the first two Muslim successors, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab. And the second important fact we shared, which is that Osman himself, the third successor, burned all previous Qurans which existed in his days after making his own Quran. We ended our last program by talking about the people who gathered the books of the Bible, who assured us that the Bible is the 66 books which we have, the 27 books of the New Testament, and the 39 books of the Old Testament. We also recognize that both of Ezra and John the Beloved were noble prophets. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they knew how to recognize that the books which we have in our Bible are the inspired words of God. Today, we will compare between Ezra, John the Beloved, like many of the prophets and the apostles of the Bible, with those who rewrote the Quran in the early days of Islam. And I read here in the book which has the same title of our study, Commentaries on the Quran. On page 33, the authors wrote, "As for the Quran, so it was gathered by people who were well known from their history for revenge and lying. And as we all know, Osman, the third Khalifa, the third successor, was killed because it has been proven that he was also a man who committed revenge and he was a liar. After that, those who took on their shoulders to collect the verses of the Quran could not recognize the saying which was revealed from others which people made up. And they were using the Arabs as witnesses. Those are the Arabs who did not have the knowledge nor the fear of God. Or let me share with you how Allah in the Quran, in the last chapter, in Quran chapter 9, that is the book which is written literally in the last year of Muhammad's life. In Quran chapter 9 and verse 97, Allah said, "The Bedouins, these are the Arabs, are strong infidels and hypocrites, and they are more disposed to not know the boundary of what Allah has sent down on his messenger, and Allah is knowing wise." Can you imagine with me the testimony of Allah in the Quran concerning the Arabs and the words of the Quran, which Allah has sent down on Muhammad? Allah said in Quran chapter 9 and verse 97 that these Arabs, these Bedouins, not only are they strong infidels and hypocrites, but they do not know the boundary of what Allah has sent on Muhammad. They do not know the boundary of the Quran. And they are the ones who helped the early Muslim leaders to collect the Quran. Wow, what a huge difference between the people of the Bible, the prophets and the apostles, the godly men who wrote to us the Bible, 40 of them, and those, the Arabs, the Bedouins, who helped the Muslims to put the Quran in a book form. And believe me, my friends, the more you know about the collection of the Quran, the more you will be surprised how in the world Muslims today, in the year 2023, believe that it is the perfect word of any God. Another comparison between the Bible and the Quran, we know for sure, is that None of the early young Christian or Jewish men were fighting each other because they think that their Bible is better than the others. But in the case of the Quran, we know that these verses were scattered everywhere. And Muslim scholars found out there are many differences between one Quran and another. That's why they asked Osman to help to save the Muslim nation by making for them one Quran for all the Muslims. And that ended, as we have shared with you before, when the successor Osman gave the order to burn all other copies of the Quran. Add to that, Osman himself gave the advice for those who were collecting his Quran that if there is disagreement, they must just go ahead and use Quraysh Arabic for the Quran. Otherwise, they can write the Quran in whatever style of reading or writing which belonged to other Arab tribes in Osman's days. And when we compare that to the Bible, we discover that the entire Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language and the New Testament was written in the Greek language. Everyone in the early days of Judaism until the last book which was written, which is the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, knew the language. There was no disagreement about what words they should use for any of the verses of the Bible. Similar to that, the well-known language in the whole world in the early days of Christianity, the Greek language, that is when the New Testament was written. And believe it or not, one of the great miracles that by the time John the Beloved wrote his book, the book of Revelation, that is when the Greek language died, meaning there was no change of any of the meanings of any of the words of the Greek language. So today, 2,000 years later, we can know for sure, without any doubt, what did the early Christian writers write by their handwriting, and what did they mean by what they wrote? The Greek language never changed in the last 2,000 years from the time of the writing of the New Testament until today. That's not the case in any other language all over the world. For all languages change. After 100 years or so, some words will have a different meaning. Think about that famous word, gay. When we read in the Bible, "I was gay when they said to me, 'Let us go up to the house of the Lord.'" Imagine me using that word in the English language today. And you say, "I was gay when they said to me, 'I am a homosexual,' when they said to me, 'Let's go up to the house of the Lord.'" Obviously, that word does not have the real meaning, which was used literally when they wrote the Bible just 100 years ago. Because the word gay there, it used to mean happy or joyful. But the word gay today means immoral, homosexual, or lesbian. That is the problem we have not only in the English language, but in any other language, for languages change. But that's not the case in the writing of the New Testament. As we have received the Bible in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it is always kept to be what it meant by when Moses and the followers of prophets and writers said and what they meant by what they said. And that's why we'll not see any difficulty of the interpretation of the Bible from the days it was written, even until today. But when it comes to the Quran, believe me, my friends, there are so many words and so many verses Muslim scholars disagree about what Allah meant by what he said to Muhammad and to those who receive the original Quran, which, by the way, we do not have. For the oldest copy of the Quran we do have today goes up to 150 years or maybe more from the day when Muhammad died.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
So in simple words, going back to the Quran, we cannot deny that there are many differences in the Quran. And even after Osman wrote his famous book, the Osmani Quran, still Muslims disagree about the number of these books which Osman sent to other places all over the Muslim world. Some said there were 5 copies. Others said there were 4 copies. But others said there were 7 copies. And the number goes on up and down because there is no solid information through history which we can go back to it to know exactly how many copies did Osman write and to where did he send these copies. Some they said he sent one to Mecca and one to the Levant and one to Yemen and one to Bahrain and one to Basra and one to Kufa, and he kept one in the city of Medina. Well, if you add those, there are more than 4, which means this is what I call contradiction. Such contradictions makes me doubt that what I'm reading in the books is true history or has any factual information. Continue reading in the book which we use in our study titled Commentaries on the Quran. When Osman saw the huge differences in the different readings of the Quran, he sent and gathered as much as he could from the different pieces of materials which the verses of the Quran was written on. And no one objected the Quran which was in the hand of Ali ibn Abi Talib, which he used to read from. As for Abi ibn Ka'b, who died before this invention of Osman ibn Affan to the new Quran, as for Ibn Mas'ud, they asked him to give them his Quran, but he refused. So they sent him away to the country of Kufa, and they used Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and Zayd ibn Thabit al-Ansari was ordered, and Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it was said also Muhammad ibn Abi Ka'b. All of them worked together to correct and to fabricate a new Quran, the Osmani Quran, and they were young men. And Osman said to them, if you disagree about anything, so write it in the language of Quraysh, as we mentioned before. And when they finished fabricating the new Quran, Osman ibn Affan sent a copy to Mecca, which was burned in the year 200 after emigration. And he put another copy in the city of Medina, which was lost during the days of son of Muawiyah. And he sent another copy to Iraq, which also was lost during the days of Al-Mukhtar. And he sent another one to the Levant. And Osman ibn Affan, the third successor, gave an order to the workers to bring all the Qurans which they have, and they put it in boiled vinegar, and they left it in it until it was completely destroyed, and nothing left from all that which they have, according to the commands of Khalifa, the successor, Osman ibn Affan. Similar to that, another man by the name Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he made his Quran and he fabricated so many of its verses, removing many of specific verses were written for specific people like Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas. And then he sent copies also, 6 of them, to Mecca, to Medina, to Kufa, to Basra, to Egypt, and to Levant. As for the rest of the Quran, which existed in his day, he also gave an order that the people boil the oil and they will put these old Qurans in it until it is destroyed, as he followed the footsteps of the successor Osman ibn Affan. And that is the sad history of how the Quran was collected and rewritten by the Muslims. This is a very sorrowful stage when you know it. Now you know for sure that the Quran, which we have today in our hands, has nothing to do with the original Quran of Muhammad. Now let me share with you the third fact, which we can use to prove to our dear Muslim friends that there was never a Quran written in Muhammad's days, meaning one full Quran of all the chapters and all the verses which Muslims have today in their fabricated Quran. And I read the order of the Quran, how the Quran verses were put in together were simply through fabrication. Do not be surprised if you know that there is no any order for the original Quran. The companions of Muhammad put the Quran as they desired. A proof of that, what we read from Ibn Abi Dawood concerning the Qurans. He said that Muhammad ibn Isaac said, and there is a list of names of different people, ended with that Ibn al-Zabir said that his father said, Al-Harisa, another gentleman, son of Khuzaymah, came to me with two verses, which he put in the end of Quran chapter 9, the last chapter of the Quran. He said that I bear witness that I heard the Messenger of Allah saying them, and I know for sure that he did. Umar came as a second witness and he said, yes, indeed, I have heard them. And if there were three verses, Umar said, we would have made them a separate chapter. But since there are only two verses, they just decided to go ahead and add them to the end of Quran chapter 9. Ibn Hajar said, it is apparently there were manufacturing verses and chapters in the Quran with their own intelligence, with their own fabrication. As for the order where the chapters were written, it is also a fabrication by Muslim so-called scholars. Al-Sayyuti said in his book Al-Itqan, to prove that the order in which these 114 chapters were put was simply by people's choices, not according to how Allah delivered these chapters to Muhammad, that different Qurans in the early days had different orders of chapters. In the Quran of Ali, the first chapter was Iqra, that is Quran chapter 96, which is actually the first chapter Muhammad claimed to receive from his angel Jibreel when he met with him in the cave. Then he have the following chapters, Al-Mudassir, that is Quran chapter 74. Then Noon, that is Quran chapter 68. Then Al-Muzammil, that is Quran chapter 73. Then Tabit, that is Quran chapter 111. Then Al-Kawthar, that is Quran chapter 108. And so on until he finished all the Makki chapters and the Medini chapters. As for the Quran of Ibn Mas'ud, he began by the first chapter, the cow, that is Quran chapter 2. Then the women, that is Quran chapter 4. Then Al-Amran, that is Quran chapter 3. With many differences than that which is written in the Quran of Abiyya and others. Then we read from Ibn Ashta concerning the Quran of Osman. For successor Osman ibn Affan orders him to put the Quran in the order according to the size of the chapters, large to small. But in reality, when you look at such a Quran, you find out that it is not actually written by the size. There are many fabrications about what rules the early Muslims used to put the Quran in whatever order we have. But in reality, it is all chaos. And the proof of that, my dear friends, that you will see many chapters small between two large chapters or a large chapter between two small chapters. Add to that, you cannot put the Quran in any chronological order of when Muhammad received such chapters. chapters, if these chapters Muhammad claimed to receive from his angel Jibril was in the first 13 years while he was living in the city of Mecca, or in the last 10 years after he immigrated to the city of Yathrib, which he renamed after taking it by the edge of the sword to the city of Medina, the city of the Prophet. Many people ask me why I did not put my Quran translation in the right order of when Muhammad received it. And I said, it is impossible for many reasons. For example, Muslims do not know exactly which chapters came first and which chapters came later. They are in disagreement about that order. Add to that, many of the Makki chapters have in it Medini verses, and many of the Medini chapters have in it Makki verses. Imagine with me, you're reading a chapter in the Quran, and somewhere in it, you see verses Muhammad received 15 years later. Or the opposite, in the last chapters which Muhammad received in Medina, there are in it early Makki verses which Muhammad received literally a good 20 years earlier. It is a chaos book. Nobody knows what order was used to write the verses or the chapters in it. This is a great evidence that the Quran which we have today has nothing to do with the original Quran of Muhammad. Because if it was written right in Muhammad's days, as all the prophets and the apostles wrote to us in the Old and the New Testament, we would have in our hands today the Quran in one order. That is the order in which Muhammad received it from his so-called angel Jibril. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.